Awesome.
You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Brysa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 93. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
This week, well, there was a big tournament up in Northern California in the Bay Area, and I didn't go, but one of our agents did, Rogue Schindler here, so I'm going to interview him all about it.
Had a job washing dishes at an old bar and grill. After hours, I'd drink like a fool with a mighty good friend who just happened to bartend his way through medical.
How'd it go?
It went all right. It went pretty good.
Originally we were going to send 4, possibly more people. And that kind of fell apart as the week went on.
It did. We had this whole rotating cast of potential people, that looked like we were at least in some way, shape, or form going to have a full car heading north.
At least one car.
Yeah. We even had, kind of vying for options at one point. And then, you got sick, which I feel really bad about because it could potentially have been maybe a little bit my fault. No concrete evidence, but circumstantial indicators may point in that direction. And then Matt couldn't go, and we tried to convince TK to join us.
Yeah.
And he was on the brink a couple of times, but he had just gone to Santa Barbara last week for a big 2E tournament, and so he had to stay behind so that he could at least see some of his non-Star Trek people. And then Franklin was just a big wuss and said no.
Which, to be fair, I believe he said he was driving, making that drive like the day later. He was driving up on Monday.
And he wouldn't have had to then.
Well, he had to be here for Monday.
He could have just stayed.
He had to be here for Monday, so he'd have driven up Saturday, came back Sunday, stayed here Monday, went up Tuesday.
Well, all I know is he just said, no, I don't feel like going to us.
Okay.
And then Jeremy emailed him and said, he better be really sick. And his reply was, yeah, I'm sick of 1E. So you know what? So he got the most flack, particularly because he was a local and he didn't come up. And all of his hometown peeps were giving him grief. So that was entertaining. But, it came right down to it Thursday. Thomas Weinberg and I were like, well, I'm still up for going. Are you still up for going? It's like, sure, I'm still up for going. So the two of us got up at the crack of midnight, not really, but, pre-dawn, 5:30, headed out and made the long, long drive in the rain the whole way. I think it broke for like an hour somewhere in the middle of the nothingness that is the Central California section of Interstate 5. And we made it up there with an hour to spare. So that was nice.
Nice. We were concerned about the timing of the trip.
Yeah. Even with the delay of the rain, we still had plenty of time. We got up. We got to say hi to everyone and, do some training. And we got to go set up in what I would not call an understatement to say possibly the largest round table in the world.
Really?
I think it's like 4 times larger than any round table I've ever been to. And I've been to a couple of pretty big ones. But it just had this huge dining room, and it just wrapped all the way around the restaurant, and it was sort of subdivided by these plexiglass walls into little private areas. And they were all, I guess round table is the place to be in San Jose, because they were all subdivided in these areas you could reserve out for private parties, and they were all reserved out all day. And so Jeremy had reserved one for us for the better part of the afternoon until about 5 o'clock, at which point some of the areas became a larger open seating, and we just filled out for the rest of the evening. But it was cool to, you know, kind of have everybody together and building their decks in a, you know, our own little area and having pizza. And, you know, some guys came down from Oregon, and there was a whole huge, local contingent, a lot of 1E players. Nice. In Northern California. Had 18, I believe, to start with. Jeremy was...
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, Jeremy was really bummed that we didn't have the full car, because he was aiming for 20, which would have, I guess, set a new continuing committee event record.
Yeah, for 1E, sure.
So... But, you know, we still had a whole mess of people opening. It was 1E Nationals sealed deck open format. Now, this was the part that I had not really thought about. And Thomas and I were both taken a little off guard by that, because it wasn't, you know, all of the things that we kind of gripe about from 1E that got turned into, you know, ref cards that became rules for...
It wasn't OTF. I see.
It was not OTF. It was, you know, original flavor, I guess, you know, not extra crispy.
Right.
So we sat down and we made our decks, and it was an OTSD and an extra pack of AU and a warp pack and a handful of virtual cards, which Jeremy had decided would help kind of fill things out. A couple of Klingons, mm-hmm. couple of Romulans.
Yeah, it looked like it was a pretty good set for just to go with OTSD.
It was. It was a nice support. You know, like 7 dilemmas and one ref card that actually, you know, nerfed all of the crazy premier stuff like telepathic alien kidnappers and static warp bubble and random stuff like that. So it looked to be like it could be something balanced, even despite that. But I was wrong. It was really weird. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. One of the cool things that we started with was Corbin, who was a local player, and he actually was kind enough to host us for the night, so we didn't have to get a hotel. We all brought sleeping bags. Thomas and I brought sleeping bags and got to crash on his floor. He also made a bunch of custom box tops for OTSD and laid them out.
Cool.
And so we got to all pick from him. A lot of them were the sort of original ones that are up on the site now. So there was a Kazon box and a Nautiline box and a Hirogen and Vidian and KCA, Klingon Cardassian Alliance. You know, all of those sort of unique niche box tops that you know were never made and are cool. He even made a few of his own. There's a hollow box and one that I saw and I was like, you know, I feel really bad that Dan could not come. I know he had other stuff, but I may have made him sick, and so I think he would really like this box top. So I picked up for you an assimilated earth fed box top.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's like the Earth icon, 2E Earth icon, but it's assimilated.
That's brilliant.
First contact.
I love it.
So that was really cool. It was a nice, you know, touch to add to the flavor of the special event. So everybody got to pick one of those when we started out with their cards, and everybody sat down to make your decks. And Jeremy even added a nice touch. If you came early, if you're one of those people like me who is slow to make your deck, you could come early, you know, up to a half hour early, and you could just start making your deck as soon as you got there. So we sat down and got right to it, and that gave me the time to sit down. And you know, I'm a huge nerd when it comes to organizing my personnel and doing the whole skill matrix. So I got to see what my mission options were and what my different combinations of personnel were, you know, based on the skills that I had available to me. So I ended up, it actually wasn't that hard of a decision, since I drafted 6 Klingon personnel and 3 of them were Targs.
What?
Yes. That are not drafted. I'm sorry, sealed. It was not right. Drafted. It was sealed. Out of all my packs, that's what I got. So it was fed Romulan for me. And I,
that's
I,
kind of a switch for you. Isn't
it is. I was I wore my Sons of Moog shirt and my I had my Klingon hat handy, and it turned out to I had to swap to my DS9ers hat real quick because there was no red in my deck.
Wow.
So that was it was a change, something new, and that was cool. I pulled a Picard, a white border Picard, so that was cool, and a Study Lanka Pulsar, which is a rare mission, Romulan only. That I happen to
oh,
have.
Oh, right, yeah. Is that the, like a 40-point?
It's a 40-point mission, and it only is 3 skills, and it was skills that I happen to have a lot of. It's astro, navigation, and stellar cartography. And so I managed to pull, those were my all-stars I used. I went with a lot of physics, a lot of stellar cartography, and a lot of astrophysics, my mission attempts. So that kind of pulled my deck together, and it helped because all of my missions were space. I realized as we were going, it was like, oh, well, this is a shenanigan-rich format.
Sure, might as well take advantage.
There's
right?
no balancing act, and we all have like, almost everybody had like 24, 25 dilemmas. It was not which dilemmas will I play. It was in what order will I play all of my dilemmas.
Right. And there's no balancing act or anything like
no
that.
No balancing act. No fair play. No big picture. So it was really a free for all. And as it turns out, it was a completely different game, which is why I was a little Well, we'll get to that later. I didn't like it as a format for a high level event because, as it turns out, I sat down and I was like, that was the last thing I did was I pulled out my dilemmas and I was like, okay, here's a kind of a combo, and I set my cards up in the combos and I knew that without the balancing act, some of them would have to be reshuffled, but at least my first game I would be kind of ready. And I sat down, we put our missions out, and I was like, okay, this one is your mission, and I set up all my combos at his missions, and I look over and he's shuffling through all of his dilemmas, putting one here, 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 and one to the seed one at a time, and had dilemmas at every mission.
Right, because he's going to be attempting every mission.
And I was like, what is going on? What is he doing? And sure enough, like the first thing he gets out, turn 4 or 5, he's got 3 people on a ship, and he goes over to my nearest mission to his outpost, and it's like, oh, it's abandoned ship, my ship's not damaged. Oh, it's Chinese finger puzzle, I don't have an android. Oh, it's something else that doesn't affect me because I don't have that. And I solve. I was like, oh, wow, okay, that was not fun. And I actually, after that, I started taking notes just so I would remember. I figured if we both went, we would kind of be able to put the weekend together. But if it was just me, I would not want to rely on my memory after the drive up and back. So over the course of the day, my opponents completed 7 missions. And of those, they earned 2 of them.
Because they encountered your dilemmas twice.
Yeah, and the rest of them were all. I'm sorry, that's not true. They 7 were stolen and 2 were actually earned. So yeah, those were all, either stealing missions that I had cleared out or just going and doing a bunch of crap seeding, not misseeding.
Yeah,
which is something that bit a couple people in the butt because if you misseed a dilemma, like a planet dilemma under a space mission, and you encounter it, you cannot solve that mission.
Right.
Which was, I never did, but some people did and got really frustrated because they had basically done favors for their opponents.
Yeah, sure. Interesting.
So it was a very different game than the game that we have now. That was what I think the best thing you could say about it. It was an excellent reminder of how far the game has come. When is the sign you came in? Country boys born and raised at the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink before the night's over.
You know, usually when there's no TSD tournament, if the only time a lot of stealing happens is if someone cedes the Triple Treaty, and then, you know, the opponent says, aha, I've got you, because now I can do your missions and you can't do mine.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it was just a free-for-all.
Well, you know, especially since I sat down and it was very clear that I was going to put my mission, my dilemmas under your missions. And once I played my first game and sort of figured out, oh, okay, it's going to be like that. And I sort of just on principle refused to bend to that because I was like, that's
didn't want
to
play that game.
No,
huh?
That's not the game I came to play. You know, I already felt bad for going out of balance, but I was like, well, I'm sure everybody's going to be doing this, and you know, at least give me a little bit of an advantage, and you know, not only a little bit, but I just wasn't going to do it. And I'm like, I'll solve my missions, and I did at least kind of see where he was going with this right away. So at least for my missions,
right.
I always had two ships and two sets of people who could solve the mission. So I had one attempt, and you know, if they got through and didn't solve, the other ship came in and solved. Same turn. There was no, you have a turn before I can, you know,
right.
I never gave you if I could help it, a turn alone with an empty mission. There were a couple times when I couldn't help it, thanks to things like rogue Borg mercenaries and you know, incoming
Ping.
Missions and, you know, silliness that you can't really do anything. But I did as much as I could to sort of counter it. And, you know, as it turns out, integrity sort of won out as far as that went. Mostly, managed to, despite clearing out seven missions in my first game, I still managed to actually solve four of them.
Just cleared out seven,
yes,
and solved four.
Yes,
sounds like you did all the work and your opponent did none of the work.
I did. That's exactly right. That's just how it went. But I managed to win that game, and the next game was even worse. He was doing every underhanded thing in the book. You know,
what do you mean by underhanded?
Balance, like it was
he was using all of the cards to his advantage.
Well,
is that what you're
the
saying?
First guy did. He did the misleading thing on one mission, so he could get one off really quick and get going. But he didn't really have enough to do that. He was doing it all over the thing. He had, you know, the rogue Borg. He was the one who started pulling all the rogue Borg stuff on me and. He cleared out crappy seeds and pulled out that just as I had my, I'm like, okay, fine, I'm gonna load up my ship and I'm gonna go over here away from you so I can start actually trying to do something. And as soon as I had all my people on one ship, he went and solved his effortful planet mission and retrieved his artifact time pod thing and slapped it on my ship. So I had to sit there for five turns doing nothing. But luckily that as discouraging as that initially seems like, well, all my people are there. I got to sit here and do nothing while waiting for them. Not really. It's 20, you know, I've got another ship sitting here. I'll play one person.
Yeah.
I'll put the person on the ship and they'll go attempt. Hey, and luckily I was nearby one of my missions that was stellar collision that like requires stellar cartography. So like, okay,
right.
I'll play one person. I'll play another person. I'll get a ship. This person goes attempts. They get past the dilemma and they're stopped. This person has stellar cartography. They come and solve. So I didn't let I overcame the sort of morale breaking, soul crushing, chicanery of it all,
mm-hmm.
and managed to just pull it out. even though he put all out, it was hilarious. I'm like, every time he did something, I was like, oh, that's fun. Oh, look, even more shenanigans. Oh, that's fantastic. That's great. And finally he goes, man, you sound just like Matt Kirk at regionals. And I was like, well, if you were pulling this kind of crap, I'm not surprised. And then I, you know, just for effect, I let out a long heaving sigh.
Yeah.
And then I pulled out a nickel and set it aside to give Matt later.
That's right. You almost copyrighted.
That's right. My third game, I lost just barely. The guy, I was playing Fed Romulan, mm-hmm. and I was like, I came in kind of prepared to fight if I needed to, but I was like, you know, between the Fed restrictions and the Romulan restrictions, the only way I was really going to fight anybody without, you know, purifying my crew and hoping theirs would be if I found a fight somebody playing all Klingon. So it's like, well, you know, my game is all space. I'm trying to get quick, easy ships. So I'm going to take out all I took out my two pretty big ships, replaced them with another science vessel and your favorite shuttle.
The Iridian shuttle.
Iridian shuttle. Nice. So I just have small, quick ships and just kind of keep going. Sure enough, next guy, all Klingon. He managed to pull enough that he was the only guy I saw all day who managed to play solo affiliation, and it clearly paid off because he went undefeated. He ended up winning the whole thing. But yeah, he had big monster ships and as soon as I started solving things, he came over and beat me up. And his ships were big, and like at first he was, you know, double staffing and bringing two over and making sure he had enough to take me out. But by the end, you know, he was like, "Well, your ships are tiny," and I got my one big ship out, so he could just come out. So it was very much okay, I'm going to solve this mission at the expense of this ship and crew. It was a high attrition game, and wow. It finally came down to we're both very close, about a mission away, and he finally had to go to work at actually solving his own mission. That sort of it was like the late game refrain for everybody. This game is like, man, you're not doing anything now. I guess I have to go do my own mission. He went to do impose order. Is that the one that you can steal the points with an officer?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That was going to put him at 95. And, you know, he had just destroyed all of my ships and my people. And so he spent the last three turns attacking, and I spent the last three turns playing people. Attempting, and I was playing people. And I had enough people that I could do it. And I had a wormhole in my hand. Actually, I couldn't do it. I had an officer, and I had people. Uh-huh. So I was like, all right, I have the skills to do that mission at the very, very far end of the space line at least two turns before he could get to me and kill me. There's two dilemmas under there. I could either wormhole over there and try to do that with my one team and before he comes and kills me, or I could sit here for another turn or two and hope he solves that. That's going to have put him at 95. He's going to have to go somewhere and just drop everybody on a planet, hope he can get a 5-point dilemma or solve a mission to win. So I opted for the latter, and he solved like two turns later, and I was like, all right, now I'm going to move in and drop my officer and get the points. And he played a particle fountain. Particle fountain for the win.
Wow.
So he pulled that right out, and that was more power to him. Which was hilarious. And as it turned out, that ended up being the difference in the tournament, because he was the only person I lost to.
Wow.
And I was his. Yeah. That he was the only one I lost to, and he went undefeated. So apparently I was the only one who came close enough to defeating him all day. So that was a good showing, good solid game. My next game it started close because we both had three duplicate missions, which just turned into chaos. You know, there were he was out of balance, but still had a planet. He had one planet mission. So I put all of my planet dilemmas under it. So seven dilemmas under the planet, and he put three of his own under there. And then we both shoved a bunch of dilemmas under the double-seated missions, and it was just gross. There was huge stacks of missions. He had my study Lanka Pulsar. It made me sad. It was the only time I didn't solve it all day. But he finally bit down and went and attempted. But he was playing Triple Treaty. One of the few people I saw playing Triple Treaty all day.
Interesting.
So he could not steal. So he really had to go and do these missions. You know, four of his six missions were stacked high with just junk.
Yeah.
And he went and really dove into one that he had the skills for and got to maybe the second to last dilemma. And it was a planet under space that he had seeded. I was like, dude, you know, you can't solve that, right?
Oh, no.
He's like, no. Of course, I then became victim of a similar, not similar error, but almost as costly error, as I wandered over past him to go attempt a mission, and he destroyed my ship with about 10 people on it. And I was like, what are you doing? You can't attack me.
Oh, because he has no battle restrictions.
And I was like, for some reason, my head, I had the special text of the Triple Treaty reversed, like it was, you know, you have all of the affiliations, so you have to obey all the attack restrictions.
Right.
But it's no, it's you don't have no attack restrictions, but you can't steal missions.
Right.
So that was a big setback for me.
Yeah, a little bit. I can tell.
Yeah, so I had already done one mission, and he had been working away at this, so he had to start working on the two missions that I didn't, that we didn't have a bunch under. He got most of the way through it and then got stopped by an outpost raid, which I wouldn't have gotten if he hadn't been seeding four outposts.
Sure.
And I managed
pretty good odds on that.
And it was the mission that requires Astro Youth, and I killed his only youth. And he did not draw into it, and so I managed to draw into mine and my wormholes. So I slipped over there, stole that out from under him. That was kind of the turning point, because that was one of his missions that he could actually do, because he hadn't misseeded under it.
Mm-hmm.
And he blew up my ship again.
Why not?
There was this sort of, and it was a similar to my first game, where it was basically, you know, he had to keep killing my guys so that I could try not to pass him up. And he had even more ships than the Klingon opponent. But I even almost stole his planet mission was Diplomacy Empathy.
Diplomacy Empathy is like First Contact?
Yes, First Contact. And he got most of the way through it, and it was at my headquarters. It's like, well, I've got the Viceroy, which was one of the virtual cards that we could use. So I went ahead and attempted, and I got stopped by his dilemma before I could steal it from him. So he got that one off. But I managed to go and do another mission before. Right. He killed all of my physics, all of my stellar cartography. I had to go and do one of the missions that I had not done all day, which I couldn't remember. But I was like, oh, I guess I'll go try to do this one. It's like test propulsion systems or like that. And I managed to get that off like right at the very end of the game. I decked. I had about six cards in play, and the rest was in my discard pile, because he blew up everything. But it was a really hard fought game. Herman gave it a good go.
Spend many a year in danger and fear on a sailing ship beyond the stars. So imagine my surprise when I heard he had died in his bed 50 million miles inside of Mars.
Well, in the end, David Beach went 4-0.
I don't recognize that name. Was he from up in Fremont?
I think so. I think he's a local. I did not meet the guys who came down from Oregon, but I know that there were some guys came down from Oregon. Chris Donati came up from Santa Barbara. I guess he's
nice.
Sort of been promoting the rejuvenation of the 1E program there to go with the 2E program. So
yeah,
so that's good stuff. And you know, it was a really good turnout. I ended up, and here's where I, TK texted me just as we were wrapping up, and he's like, so how'd you do? How'd it go? What's up? Where are you? Are you done? I was like, pretty good. I went 3-1. I only lost to the guy that went undefeated. He's like, oh, so you got second. Like, you know, that's what I thought when Jeremy told me that the guy I lost to was the only undefeated guy. But differential is much different than strength of schedule, as it turns out. And I had this whole long Thomas and I had this big discussion on the way home. It was like, you know, obviously they figured out at some point that there was something wrong with the differential system because they switched to the strength of schedule system for 2E.
Mm-hmm.
And even though,
did you find out what that was?
There's no reason not to have switched over other than nobody really thought that anybody was going to be playing 1E anymore. So I was like, maybe we should do that. I mean, it's not a huge deal to me. I was just having fun being there. I don't really care about getting a bye to Worlds or whatever. I'm certain that if I were one of those players who goes to all the cons and goes to high level events and expect, you know, is trying to get that, I think I would be pretty miffed.
That's right. Cause second place, first and second both got was buy into, was it Continentals or Worlds?
I think it's Worlds. I think it doesn't go up the system. I think all the events are buys straight to Worlds. Regionals only get the one, but Nationals and Continentals first and second both get buys, I think. You know, I don't know where Worlds is going to be this year. Is it going to be back at Gen Con?
Yeah.
So, who knows? Maybe I'll take advantage of that if I, you know, place at World at Continentals or something. But not a huge deal to me. But I definitely can see why they switched over, and I think I would definitely be in favor of lobbing that back over to the strength of schedule system.
It's interesting. There's a big discussion going on now about what, how to declare a winner and something like that. And
now,
I like keeping track of differential because I think it's a good tiebreaker. But I wouldn't want to push it ahead of strength of schedule.
And that's pretty much what Thomas and I came. The conclusion we came to was, well, if you did, you did strength of schedule, and then you came to differential. If you had to go past that, then that makes sense. It's like, okay, well, right. We both beat the same. Level of people, but I beat them more. Okay, sure, that makes sense. But I did find it a little irritating that the guy I played in round two, Sam, and he knows that he plays shenanigans. He's actually quite proud of it. But the fact that all of his stuff earned him higher differential than me, even though I beat him in head to head. He finished ahead of me.
Right.
So I was like, some logic here is escaping me. But I ended up in fourth. Thomas, with a true tie, I think, in one of his games. And then so it went 2-1-1. So he came in right behind me at fifth.
Good showing.
So, yeah, good showing for San Diego for making the trip all the way up there. Got some tournament foils. There was an iPod Touch that somebody had donated. That had every 1E card image preloaded onto it. So if you ever can't remember what a card does, you'll have it right there handy, so you can go look it up.
That's awesome.
And the winner took that. I got there was a nice helping of the virtual promo foils. That I had a tough time choosing from. I ended up going with Secure Homeworld,
nice.
Just
that's
because it's a really great picture, and I will use it in almost every deck.
Sure.
Unlike something like George and Gracie, which I love the picture, but would seldom use.
Yes.
Or Voyager, which is a fantastic picture, but I will never use.
Come on, if you were going to play straight up Delta Quadrant and just... never mind.
Yeah. But you know, a lot of stuff. I rounded out a big chunk of my damage marker collection, and there was a big model of the new movie Enterprise that somebody got. Somebody had donated a 3x3 plaque of all of the black and white cards from the Captain Procon cards. You know, they had those those plaques that you could get from Decipher for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
So there was one of those.
Lithograph.
Yeah. And, you know, a bunch of movies. Somebody had bought a bunch of DVDs to donate. And it was crazy. And a bunch of coupons to Jeremy's 1E Rare Emporium. You know, choose 10 rares from the Lots of Rares pile, or choose one rare from the, you know, Black Border Premiere / Blaze of Glory / Motion Pictures pile.
Nice.
So, you know, that was a lot of fun to sit and just watch people dig through cards after the tournament, you know, going through. Has anybody seen any Holodeck Adventures? Has anybody seen Senator Kreetak? Or, you know, if you see Davidian Door, let me know. Or, you know, it was funny. And then apparently the cards just got totally trashed, so we stayed after and helped reorganize them.
Oh, jeez.
Which didn't take as long as it sounds, and you know.
Well, when did the tournament start, and when did it wrap up?
The tournament started at 2. We went 4 rounds, which was sufficient to have a definitive winner. You know, one person had gone undefeated, and we wrapped up with pizza and deck building and cleanup. We were done by 8, and then there was you know, an hour or so of trading and people digging out, you know, redeeming their prize coupons for rares from the pool and so forth. So around 8:45 or 9, we sat down and played some Tribbles.
Nice. How'd that go?
It was fun. We had 6 of us with one new player who I gave my clone deck, and he came really close to winning the first game. And then we played another game after that in which actually Thomas ended up pulling it out at the very last minute, as we're, you know, used to. You know, he goes out, he only has to go out once, and in this case
he pulled out the
last round. He, you know, battled his way to a bunch of cards in his deck and then mutated to 600,000
nice.
Point Tribbles in the last round to overtake first place. But Corbin, our host, he went out every round of the second game. We played another game after that, and there were 6 of us. We played 6 rounds, and with the exception of the round that I ended by poisoning Thomas with an antidote, he went out every round.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, okay, you win.
Wow, well played.
And he's apparently a former world champion of the world. Back in 2003. So apparently it was just, you know, it's all coming back to him now.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, you know, I would watch my back if I were you.
Well, I'm not world champion right now. It's still about to heal. Now, how many of these folks are, you know, making a trip out to Gen Con this year?
That is a good question. I'm not sure, but there certainly sound like there was a lot of interest. I would say maybe a quarter or a full third of them might be up for coming out to Worlds. I do know many of them were asking when we were going to be having a big event down in San Diego again.
That's right. We've got plans for one just after the first of the year, I think, or maybe on the first of the year. We haven't really solidified yet. It's about time to do something like that.
Yeah, I think so. Our traditional Phoenix tournament to kick off the new year.
That's right, our all-day event.
I think we'll have to include some 1E this year.
Well, yeah. I think in the past we've tried to do we'll do like a three tournament day, and the first event is usually 1E because only the diehard people will get there in the morning anyway, and those are 1E players. And then we'd do either a sealed deck 2E or a regular 2E, and then another regular 2E event, and the Tribbles, and the call of day. We'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. This old bar gets lonely around this time of night. Lonely is why I'm drinking for two. I was playing at Roundtable compared to playing at Arby's.
Different. I think there was a lot more people coming and going. We eventually had to have there were you know, multiple entrances because the place was so dang big. And one of them came into our little corner of a private area. So we eventually had to have them lock the door. And we had to sort of put a table in the way to come back to our area because people were completely ignoring the giant, you know, 3-foot by 3-foot sign hanging from a stanchion that said, this area closed for private party, but people would just walk by and, you know, push people out of the way who were playing games to get to the back door, which was a little irritating, but, you know, we taught them how to read and put a big sign over it and waved at the people who were yanking on the locked door from the outside, wondering why we wouldn't open it for them. Even though there's a sign right by the handle that says, closed for private party, please use front entrance. So I think we have a much better cooperation with the Arby's. I think they appreciate us coming a bit more. Now, to be fair, this was a last-minute arrangement. We were supposed to be playing at Wahoo's Fish Tacos down the street, but they closed 2 weeks ago. Forever.
Like, closed for business.
Yes. And Jeremy was like, what?
He's been playing there forever.
Yeah. So that was news to him. And but he was quick on his feet. He managed to find out that he could, you know, get this place for us for a while. And, you know, they because Roundtable is the place to be in San Jose, they're open till midnight.
Nice.
So, you know, we got breadsticks later and sat and played Tribbles and did some trading and I really wanted to go to this other restaurant that I was super jazzed about.
Yeah,
I had been to.
You'd mentioned that. It's like a Creole something.
Yes, it's called the Poorhouse Bistro. It's sort of a Cajun New Orleans style Creole restaurant and so good. But I ran and got sandwiches and everybody was like, oh, well, get me one too. And so I ran and got sandwiches for everybody, but we, you know, we got drinks and breadsticks from Roundtable, so we would continue to patronize them for their letting us sit around and play Tribbles. And we played pretty much until they kicked us out. Not quite that far, but they were definitely looking at us like they wanted to vacuum. So we took off around 11:30 and headed home. So it was a big day. It was a long day, but full day, but it was a lot of fun. I do not think I would actively choose to play that format again. No.
So if the rules were OTF and all that were included,
see, I think it would be fine. That was all. That was the only thing it needed. It was
so. But so the only difference was then OTF would make you solve a planet in space, and or an extra 40 points, and what, you can't steal missions.
Right. I would even throw in if we made a virtual balancing act or something, if people wanted that. I don't know. That's not one of the OTF rules, is it?
No.
That's okay though. But you need planet space. So if that would sort of force you to balance, because if you went 5-1, you'd just be punishing yourself.
You'd have to.
Your opponent would shove.
You'd have to solve an extra 40 points.
Exactly. So you don't even need the balancing. I think making it OTF, I would totally play the same. You know, sealed deck product. Sit down and play somebody with what you've got. But that is much more like the game that I, you know, and I can understand that if they wanted to play that on their own, but I think it was a poor choice for a high level event, because it's not even remotely what the game is now. And for that to be the judge of a national championship, I think, you know, that's like playing Tribbles to decide who's going to be the 1E national or the 2E national champion. You know, it's not a judge of the same skills, you know. So that was my only minor gripe. I mean, I did pretty well, so I don't feel like I'm griping because I lost. You know, it was just it was not a fun format for me. And there were definitely people there who clearly they play that frequently, so that it's a different kind of strategy, and they're used to playing it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, they sure enjoy that adversarial part of it, but I don't know, it's a completely different style of play, and it's not how you play in Constructed. So I think for it to be the measuring stick for a high-level event like that is not telling, if that makes sense.
Well, I like the fact that it was free.
Yes.
A free Nationals with OTSD, and there was some, or was there, I was allegedly there was some Blaze of Glory floating around. Was there prizes, packs or something like that?
There was not. I think Jeremy at one point had threatened to throw Blaze of Glory into the sealed deck pool. But I think because of the chairman's challenge, he ended up vetoing that, and it seemed like there was a pretty a drought of Blaze of Glory to begin with. There was only one pack in the prize pool, and it was already opened. I think he had assembled it. You know, it's like there's a decent rare in there. There's a the right number of rarity of cards.
Sure.
It's a pack. It's in a, and he even found an opened, intact wrapper to put it in. So that was pretty funny. But there was a couple of Motion Pictures packs,
nice,
which are like $6 to $8 now per pack. And there was a Deep Space Nine, which apparently out of nowhere, DS9 the set has become very rare, and Deep Space Nine the card in particular, is super valuable. I guess Jeremy said he saw one go for $30 on eBay last month.
Yikes!
So that was a pretty big prize, and as well, I was entertained by digging through the rares. Worthy to be in the coupon for 10 rares and the coupon for one rare pile, varied by region, I guess, because all of the rare tribbles were in the one rare pile. We're like, where are all the tribbles? Really? I guess everybody must have taken them already. And then we started digging through the one tribbles, and it was like clone, discard, go. Like all these 100,000s, 10,000, like, wow, all the tribbles, I guess because they play tribbles so much. And always have,
sure,
that they're over there. And there were all of these really good 2E rares in the 10 pile. And it's like, I guess, because they just don't play. And I was like, okay, I'll take these archive foils. I got 4 or 5.
Wow.
What You Leave Behind foils. And a Mako. The military.
Oh, the downloader?
Yeah, the downloader event. And,
well, that's good in 1E. I'm surprised they let that one go.
Yeah, there was some... Oh, wait, no. I traded for that. Sorry. But there was another... I ended up using my coupon on almost all 2E cards because I have so many 1E cards, and there were really good 2E cards that nobody was using. So like, I'll be happy to take these off your hands for you.
Well, it sounds like overall it was a well-run event if you didn't particularly like the format. But
it was. And, there was a dump truck worth of prizes, T-shirts and, models and for a free event and have that pizza included and all these.
Really? Pizza included?
Was included. I guess
that's kinda
Jeremy
awesome.
He felt bad about the venue change and how everything was going, and he was happy to take donations, but he was like, this is all. I said this was going to be a free event. It's a free event. Here's the party plot. Like, you had to put a deposit down for the location, which you didn't get back, but was put towards your pizza when you got there.
Interesting.
So he got pizza for everyone. And there was, all the prizes and all the product for the sealed. So, it's certainly difficult. I had a good time, and I was happy to play the format that he wanted me to play the format after we got there, because it was a huge hosting success on his part. So he did a lot of legwork, and it was definitely kudos to Jeremy for hosting a very successful, very entertaining event for everyone.
Well, if nothing else, Jeremy runs a great show.
He does.
I think if I had a big show to run, I would get Jeremy too. to volunteer and run part of the 1E stuff. That's good stuff.
So yeah, it was a good trip up. It was worth the trip, and we got to meet a lot of players and interact and did pretty well and got some cards, and now I've got a big stack of Whitewater cards to give TK for his virtual cards, and
nice.
Some I managed to do some trading for him since he's getting back into 1E, and picked up a couple things for some other people that I know they might want. So definitely a great time for a national event.
Well, all right. I think that's pretty much all we have to talk about today. So that was an excellent report. Do you know if anyone's writing any tournament reports or anything, or if anything's going up soon?
I don't. I mean, I did see a few people taking notes like I did, just to kind of keep track of how things went, who was playing what, and therefore I do know Jeremy kept track of what everybody played, what affiliations they played based on their sealed deck, so I get the feeling that he may post that somewhere.
That'd be nice to see.
But I would certainly keep an eye on the 1E boards for tournament reports to see if anybody's posting anything. Maybe I'll type up my notes just I'll just post my tournament report is at section31@danhammond.com.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. Audio.
Well, I'm very disappointed that I couldn't make the trip with y'all, but sounds like I had a good time.
We did, and you guys were missed for everything except for the leg room. we got to push our chairs back and pile our stuff in the back. We didn't have to worry about how much room we were taking up, but it would have been nice to have you guys along and chat and play, and I'm sure everybody would like to meet you, but we'll just have to get everybody to come down for the Phoenix tournament in the new year, and they can meet us all then.
Well, that sounds like a plan.
But as far as that goes, that's all the intelligence I have to report for the 1E Nationals for 2010. I'm going to give a shout-out to TK for giving me some tips on trading so that I could get some cards from him and give him some cards he needs, and for also putting this show together. I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to boldly go, because I have expanded my power enough in the universe for one weekend.
Very good. And I will, it was a long, it was more than 93 miles, but that's a long way to go to end.
And have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody in the U.S.
Damn it, Jim, let's pull one more round. McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. You're the best drinking friend.